Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, if you'd like to join along in your own Bible or in a pew Bible. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, who from the womb of the Virgin Mary brought new life to all humanity, grant to us your Holy Spirit, that hearing your word we might receive it by faith, that our hearts would be overturned and so be your children, your sons and daughters throughout eternity. Through Jesus Christ, Son of Mary and Son of God, we pray. Amen. John 1, beginning with verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Old Testament reading comes from Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Now this is our third week looking at the book of Jonah during this Christmas season. Almost 3,000 years ago, almost 800 years before Jesus, Jonah was called by God. Jonah was sent by God to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, the ruins of which can be found in present-day Iraq. And during Jonah's time, the Assyrian Empire was the world power. The Assyrian kings had control over the greatest military in the world. The Assyrian army was known for its brutality, it was known for its savagery, it was known for its cruelty, and it was also known for its winning record. Like Alabama, they rarely lost. It was a culture. Assyrian culture uplifted and celebrated war, and they celebrated violence, and they celebrated conquest. That's what the culture was like. And this empire was a growing threat to God's people. Like a slow-moving storm engulfing everything in its path, it was approaching Israel. So Jonah was called by God and sent by God to this empire, to Nineveh, to the very heart of the enemy. And Jonah was called to go there to preach against it, to call out the evil of the Assyrians, to call out their sin, to call out their pride, to call out their brutality. And rather than obey the Lord, Jonah runs. Jonah rebels. He charters a ship to a city called Tarshish, which was probably in southern Spain. And in other words, Jonah heads in the complete opposite direction of Nineveh, where God's sending him. But you can't run from the Lord. You can't run from the Lord. The Lord sends a great storm upon the ship, and recognizing that he is the cause of the storm, Jonah tells the sailors to throw him overboard. If they throw him overboard, the storm will stop. So reluctantly, they agree. They throw Jonah overboard, and immediately the storm stops, and Jonah sinks into the depths. He sinks into the flood. He sinks into death. But he is miraculously saved by the Lord. He's swallowed by a great fish. In the belly of the fish, Jonah returns to the Lord and he prays. He prays a prayer from the depths, a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer where he acknowledges that salvation belongs to God. And after 3 days, we're told, the fish vomits Jonah on dry land. Well, that's where we ended our story last week. We'll continue with chapter 3 today. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published it throughout Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the word of the Lord came to Jonah again. God spoke to Jonah a second time. And the Lord told Jonah, the same as he told him the first time, to arise, to get up, to go. Now, the sense of the Hebrew here is that immediate action is required by Jonah. The Lord is telling Jonah, "Jonah, don't wait. Don't hesitate. Get up and go. Get up and go now. Go to Nineveh now. Go to Nineveh and preach now." And this time, Jonah didn't run. This time, Jonah didn't flee. This time, Jonah did not rebel. Having experienced the salvation of the Lord, and perhaps reminded by the lingering odor of fish, Jonah obeyed. Jonah listened. Jonah followed the word of the Lord, and he goes to Nineveh. He goes to the heart of enemy territory. He goes to the center of the savage and bloodthirsty empire, and Jonah preaches. He preaches in the city. He preaches in their midst. Now, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but again, this would be like God calling a Jew to go to Berlin in 1943 and preach to the Nazis. Or this would be like God calling you to go to Syria and to preach to ISIS. Well, Jonah preaches. He calls out the Assyrians, and his message is found in verse 4. Listen to verse 4 again. "Yet 40 days shall be overturned." Short, very short sermon. Very brief message. In Hebrew, it's only 5 words. Now, more than likely, this is a summary. This is a synopsis of Jonah's preaching in Nineveh. But let's look at Jonah's message. Let's look at his sermon a little more closely. Jonah begins with a time frame. He begins his message by saying, "Yet 40 days. Yet 40 days." The Lord is giving Nineveh 40 days. 40 is a significant number in the scriptures. Although there are several stories with the time frame of 40, whether it's 40 days or 40 years, the one that applies the most to this story is in the book of Genesis, the great flood. Noah. In the book of Genesis, God brings judgment upon a wicked world. God brings judgment upon a cruel world, a world full of savagery and a world full of violence, a selfish, sin-filled, sinful world. And he does so through a flood, a great flood that engulfs the entire world, a flood that's brought on by rain for 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord's judgment in 40. Yet 40 days, Jonah preaches, and Nineveh shall be overturned. Jonah preaches that Nineveh will be overturned. And the Hebrew word that's translated overturn is ambiguous in its meaning. And here's what I mean. Overturn can mean destruction. Overturn can mean annihilation. That Nineveh will be physically upended. This word is used to describe the destruction of other cities in the Bible, particularly Sodom and Gomorrah. These two cities were overturned. These two cities were destroyed because of their wickedness, because of their sinfulness. Well, Jonah preaches that Nineveh will be destroyed. But overturn can also, it can have another meaning. It can also mean turn around. It can mean to change direction. It can mean a turning of the mind, a turning of the will, a turning of the heart. It can mean a personal change, a transformation. Jonah preaches that Nineveh will make a turn. Nineveh will change. Nineveh will be transformed. Now, the ambiguity is certainly on purpose. Nineveh will be overturned. It's either going to be physically overturned or spiritually overturned. Buildings and bodies will be overturned or hearts will be overturned. Well, how do the people respond? How would you respond? What if you woke up tomorrow and there's some guy walking down your street saying, yet 40 days and Jackson will be overturned? How would you respond? Or yet 40 days and Madison will be overturned? Well, verse 5 describes the response of the people. Listen to verse 5 again. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed God. They called for a fast and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The people of Nineveh believed. They believed Jonah's message. They believed his preaching. They believed the word of the Lord. They were overturned, but their hearts were overturned. Their hearts were changed by the word of the Lord. Even the king, the book tells us, even the king. Verse 6 tells us that word reached the king. Now, it doesn't tell us that Jonah preached to the king, just that the king received Jonah's preaching. He received Jonah's message. He received God's word. And here is the king's response in verse 6. This is verse 6 again. And he arose, the king arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. The king was overturned. His heart was overturned. His heart was changed by the word of God. And as a sign of this change of heart, he changed his garments. He removed his royal robes, and he put on sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. Now, these were signs, this putting on sackcloth, this sitting in ashes, these were signs in the ancient world of expressing grief or humility or penitence. It was an outward sign reflecting a state of the heart. So after the king does this, he issues a decree. He issues an order to all the inhabitants of Nineveh. And this is his order, that man and beast, that flock and herd should neither eat nor drink, that they should fast, that they should wear sackcloth, and that they should call upon the Lord, that they should turn to the Lord. Now, it seems a bit comical, it does, that animals should participate. I mean, the king is calling on cows to fast and wear sackcloth. But such an unusual decree that men and beasts shows the king's understanding of the severity of the judgment upon them. The king understands that all of life is in danger, that all of life in Nineveh was under threat, that all of life in Nineveh was under judgment, that the whole city would be overturned, animals and people alike. Well, listen to the king's final words in his decree. This is from verse 8 and 9. The king says, "Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that's in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." The king says that everybody's got to turn, that they've got to turn from their evil, that they have to turn from their violence, that they have to turn from the very things that their culture uplifted and that their culture celebrated. In other words, what the king is calling all the people of Nineveh to do is to repent. He's calling the people to repent. Because that's what repentance is. Repentance is turning to the Lord. It's a turning to the Lord. Repentance is doing a 180-degree turn. It's turning from going your way to God's way. It's turning from going to Tarshish to going to Nineveh, where he calls you. It's turning from going to disobedience to obedience. And we are told that the Ninevites were overturned. They were changed. Their hearts were changed by the word of the Lord. They believed, and since their hearts were overturned, the Lord did not overturn the city. He spared it from destruction. The Lord had mercy. The Lord saved the Ninevites. Now, John Calvin, who was a 16th century Protestant reformer, he was a great pastor in Geneva, and in commenting on this passage from Jonah 3, Calvin wrote that we see in this passage, we see the word of God came to Nineveh in power. That God's word came to Nineveh in power. And it wasn't just because of Jonah. It wasn't Jonah's oratorical skills. It wasn't Jonah's power of persuasion. It wasn't Jonah's genuineness that overturned Nineveh. But it was the message. It was the word. The word of God. The word of God sent to enemies. Wicked, sinful, sin-filled, evil enemies. Who didn't know God. Who celebrated violence. Who celebrated death. Who celebrated destruction. The word of God came in power. The power of the Holy Spirit cutting straight to the heart. Sealing the message on the heart. Changing the will of all who heard it. And the city was overturned. Now that's how God still works today. Through his word. Through the power of the Holy Spirit to cut straight to your heart. Straight to your heart. Otherwise, it's just letters on a page. Otherwise, it's just vibrations over vocal cords transmitted through airwaves. Nineveh was overturned. Nineveh was transformed by the Spirit of the living God through the word of the God. So that the city, from all of the people to the king, repented. They turned to the Lord. They turned from their evil. They turned from their sin. They turned from death. They turned to the Lord, and he gave them life. This is God showing love for his enemies. And that's the message of Jonah. God showing love for enemies. And that's not only the message of Jonah, that's Christmas. That's Christmas. God showing love for enemies. God showing love for those who have failed to love. Because that's God's design. That's his design for life. That's his desire for you, that you live in love. Loving him and loving your neighbor. God's desire for your life is that you live selflessly, that you don't put yourself first, but you put God first, and you put those around you first, and not just through your words, and not just by your deeds, but also in your thoughts, in your heart. And when we don't do that, we sin. Failure to love is sin. And those who sin are enemies of God. Those who sin are enemies of God, living outside the will of God, living outside the desires of God, living outside of God, alienated. And if we're honest, that's all of us. That's all of us. Everyone. But this is the good news of Christmas. The good news of Christmas is that the Word has come in power. The Word of God has come in power to enemies, to you, to me. And this time, the Word of God has come in power not through a prophet, not through a messenger, not through a Jonah. Listen again to part of our New Testament reading. Our New Testament reading was from the Gospel of John. Listen again to John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word came among us in the flesh. The Word was born to Mary in a stable in Bethlehem. The Word was wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger, visited by shepherds, cried out in the night. The Word of God became a man, flesh and blood, just like you and just like me, in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come in power, and Jesus Christ has come to overturn. He has come to overturn the world. He has come to overturn your world, to overturn you, to overturn your heart. To cut you to the heart and to change you and to transform you so that you might turn to him, so that you might repent, so that you might know him and receive forgiveness and receive life. Jesus Christ is God's word made flesh, God's message of love come in power to enemies, to us, to save. Yet 40 days. Do you believe? Like the Ninevites. Do you believe? Well, this is Christmas. This is Christmas. God's love for enemies. Shown through his word. That's the message of Jonah. That's the message of the book of Jonah. And one greater than Jonah is here. One greater than Jonah is here. Jesus Christ was born. Hallelujah. And thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord of heaven and earth, Almighty God, gracious Father, you have shown us your great love for us, your steadfast love for us. Enemies though we are, through your word. For your word has come in power, come to us in power, among us in power. For your word became flesh in Jesus. Father, we rejoice in the incarnation. We rejoice in Christmas that you came to us in person so that we might know you. So that we might know your heart for us. So that we might be yours, your sons and daughters by faith. Father, we bless you for the family that you place us in, for the church, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, in faith, by your Spirit, here in this room together, all over Jackson this morning, and indeed all around the world. Father, this morning we pray for your church, that we as your people, your body, celebrate the coming of Jesus with joy, that we celebrate with peace, amazed at your grace, and assured of our eternal future with you. We pray especially this day, Father, for your church in China, North Korea, and Saudi Arabia. Father, protect your people. May your word shine forth through them in power. May your spirit overturn hearts and nations. And we pray, Father, we pray that for our own land, for our own nation. Father, you have blessed us with peace and prosperity and freedom. And with those great blessings has also come confusion and greed and immorality. Father, overturn hearts. By your word, overturn hearts in our land, in our city, in our neighborhoods. And Father, would you heal the great divisions within our land? We pray that you would grant wisdom to our leaders, to our president, Donald Trump, to our representatives and our senators. Guide the decisions that they make. May they turn to you for wisdom. Father, we also pray this day for our own needs and for the needs of those we know, those we love. We pray this day, Father, for traveling mercies for all family and friends this week. We pray, Father, as well for those who are ill. We pray for those who are recovering. We pray for those who mourn, for those who are depressed, for those who are struggling, for those who are lonely. We pray for those whose hearts need to be overturned. And Father, we pray that you would heal, that you would comfort, that you would assure, and that you would transform. We pray especially this day for Paul Grievous, for Nancy Steele, for Dottie Cole, for Emily Cruz. And Father, we also pray that you would grant us joy, that we may truly rejoice that a child has been born unto Mary, Christ the Lord, Jesus, your word come in power, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.